Hey everybody, this is Doc Mac from the Galloping Ghost Arcade out in Brookfield, Illinois. It is Monday, February 1st, 2016, and we are here doing another Galloping Ghost Arcade podcast. And as always, I am joined by none other than the Gamer of the Year, Pete Hahn.
Hello everyone, how are you doing today? Happy Monday.
And
don't kill me.
Our favorite guy to buy arcade games from, Jeremy Fox of Prince Arcades.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Gonna go over all the stuff from the last week, discuss it's been a busy week.
Super busy. Yeah.
And talk about the game that was released last year. Or last year.
Well, it was last year.
It seems like a year ago.
Last month.
Last week.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about... looking forward to talking to Jeremy about buying arcade games and pricing of arcade games and other good stuff. So let's jump right into it and go over. Let's first discuss the game of the week for last week.
It was Peter Packrat.
Peter Packrat, released from Atari. Such an amazing game. Huge shout outs to Tim Foley and Scott Lambert, who both messaged me, and thanks to Jeremy, you finalized that deal for me, and
yeah.
Very much appreciated, and we got it here. They had delivered it, and we unveiled it, and James was...
James almost died on the counter.
He had... It was awesome. It
yeah.
was so far
James
the
White, yeah.
most... energized release of a game here on the arcade floor.
It's not an easy game to find.
It is not.
Yeah.
It is not.
Yeah.
But seeing James, James's reaction alone was worth getting it, and the struggle of finding it.
that was awesome.
He was, I believe, trying to take out his competition by deafening Pete Gores.
Yeah. But Pete Gores did end up winning.
Yes, congratulations to Pete.
So yeah, that night he was over 300,000 that night, but then he's since come back and raised his score. He's well over 600,000 now.
Yeah,
wow.
Which is technically a world record on that game as well.
That's awesome.
Mm. Yeah,
Pete's such a great player. He had the game itself is it seemed like it took some of the players a little time to get used to it. There's only a couple that had actually even heard of it before.
Mm-hmm.
You have to move Peter Packrat around and collect various
things,
bottles and wrenches and such,
knick-knacks.
And then take him back to his rat's lair,
nest. I was thinking that they should make a game about you collecting arcade games and bringing them back to GGA. It's kind of the same thing.
Yeah. Is
I mean, yeah, that's...
If someone gets in your way, you just throw a game at him? Or throw a joystick
at
him?
I would never throw a game. Those PCBs are too precious.
That's true.
But, very happy that game went over well. And we're anxious for today's game of Monday Mystery Game, which it is 2:11... As of the time we are recording this, and I still do not know what we are putting up on the floor yet
so
today.
It's a mystery to everyone.
It's a mystery to everyone. It
Even
really
you.
Is. But I guess this weekend, such an awesome weekend. We had our busiest day ever.
Again. Yeah, just at near the beginning of January, I think it was the 2nd, was our previous busiest day ever, and we already outdid it.
Yeah.
It's insane.
On the 2nd, we had 736 people through the door,
mm-hmm.
Which outdid our last record of 568.
Ooh,
it killed it, yeah.
By far, yeah.
Yeah.
That's outstanding.
This Saturday, just shy of 800, we had 798 people through the door.
Yeah, it was busy up to like 1:30. Like, it didn't calm down.
No, it was. That's amazing. Such a...
Wow.
Thank you, everybody who came out and... all the support that we get from everybody, it's truly humbling to have, let's see what the amount of people that come to this arcade and travel in, and just, it means so much to me that, and all the people that work here, that how much this place means to everybody. So
for sure.
Thank you.
It was definitely a good day. And we also had a Pie Factory podcast here.
Yes.
I don't know if we're going to announce his guest, because I don't know if that's secret, if that's a spoiler, if they're going to announce that. But Pie Factory was here. So shout out to Pie Factory podcast.
Yes.
Sean and Jim, thanks for coming out.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Always great chatting with them.
Yep.
Yeah, it's...
How many people did you say?
798.
It's hard to believe, isn't it?
Yeah, you just... It's...
I mean, that's not all at the same time, but...
I know, but that's like a lot of people in one day.
Yeah. I was thinking the Shang Tsung's Fight Night, maybe it's going to be like 1,000 people now.
I think Shang Tsung's Fight Night will easily break 1,000 people.
Yeah.
It's, you got the growth, we've been keeping very close track of our numbers, and we watch what resonates with the people, and... It, just the growth. This was our best month we've ever had.
Yep.
Just incredible. And it's our pledge to just keep making it bigger and better for everybody, and keep adding more games and improving on everything that we already do.
Yeah. Can't expansion can't come soon enough.
It cannot.
Yeah.
Not only do I not know what the game is gonna be, but I don't know where it would go.
Nice.
Yeah.
So
when is that supposed to go through?
Five.
The expansion.
Oh,
the expansion. Great news on the expansion. The walls are up.
Nice.
Electric is in place. We just got to run a little more wire, as everybody knows. We use quite a bit of electric, and we had the mason out on pretty late Saturday night. He came out, and I was showing him where the pass-through hole is going to be from the one building to the other building. So it's progressing well. I'm hoping big progress this week. Now I'm kind of formulating in my head. It's like, wow, we have that big open space. Do we run a quick swap meet event, maybe?
A lot of people have been asking about swap meets. We just had someone in the Facebook group ask.
Yeah.
Before the space is gone.
Before the space is gone. And it will not take long, because there is a freighter boat on its way as we speak from Japan with a couple of big items. So
I hope one of them's what I hope it is.
It is.
Okay.
It is.
It's everything you could hope.
Nice.
Wherever that will go.
Mm-hmm.
Now here, this is the problem with these big ones. It's like, we can put up 40 games as long as they're not these two big ones.
Yeah, the two big ones take up like room for like 4 or 6 games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting, but very exciting times. Very exciting times. You don't happen to have anything in your truck with you? I need to buy a new game today, I think.
I don't. I do have to go do delivery after we're done with this, though. But there's nothing in there now.
No. Well, we'll get to that in a minute, because it's always a pleasure buying games from you, and I know you, as everybody knows, you've tracked down some pretty obscure titles.
Gems.
Some true gems.
Yeah.
Over the last several years for us, and we'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. But first let's cover scoring.
Okay, let me get right into it here. So last podcast was the 23rd, so we're going to take scores from there here, and I'm going to go over new house highs or world records. Art of Fighting 2 has fallen. Masi's has reclaimed the score on that. I believe you held it before, right?
Did I?
I think you did. Yes.
Oh.
Great. And then, like we already mentioned, Peter Packrat. Peter Gore is upping his already current house high. He's at 630,235 now. He did that on the 27th. And that's a world record.
Very impressive.
Yeah.
How long of a game is that?
Peter Packrat?
What's the playthrough?
I don't know. I think it keeps going.
Yeah, most people.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Don't last long.
Right.
The first game of it, most people didn't clear the first stage.
Yeah, it definitely is a little. There's a little bit of learning curve. Once you figure out you can control the flying guys, then you're gonna last a bit longer.
For sure.
Yeah. All right, and then we had a very busy day on Friday, I believe it was the 29th, right? We had 6 scores set that day, one of which was yours on Sky Cursor.
Ah, yes.
The 1806, the highest known score on that game.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I've been really diving into that, and it's a lot of fun. Like, I'm so anxious for the new update to it. We've been talking to the Sky Cursor guys, and we sent them the video of the playthrough.
Yes.
It's a cool game. Definitely very cool. It's I just can't.
Game, you know?
Very.
They put up a picture of their level 3 boss. I'm not sure if he's a mid boss or boss, but the level 3 boss looks pretty cool. He's like a devil-y looking guy.
Yeah.
Pretty cool looking.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
So
then you had one. You just trashed Thunder Force AC. Was that a 1cc?
That is a 1cc.
Impressive.
Yeah.
Very impressive.
Actually, it's not the hardest game to 1cc. It really didn't take long. There's just a lot of cheap deaths. Like, you feel like the game overwhelms you right away, but once you know what to do, it's like, okay, you know, it's not very hard. And once you're done with, like, level 2 or 3, you get this weapon that homes in on enemies, and it's just about dodging the scenery and keep pressing fire, and then the homing weapon does the offense for you. So it's actually, you know, if you're looking to get into a shmup that's not that hard, Thunder Force AC, I definitely recommend it. It's not that tough to get into.
Out of the box, I know a lot of players, if you're not ready for the stuff that is coming from behind and everything, it's definitely, you need a handful of playthroughs to really get it.
But once you get it, it's just like, oh, I got it. It's not that bad.
Yeah. And you put up, what was it, 2.1 million?
Yep, a little over 2.1 million.
Very impressive. Congratulations.
Yep. And then after that, Norbert came in and did a bunch of work. He set 3 King of Fighters scores on 2001, 2002, and 1997. I believe 2 of them were held by the same guy who he took them from. And then Marshall Masters was mine before.
Yeah.
So he took 4 scores. Sounds like the 4 score and 7 years ago there. Norbert took 4 scores on that day as well. So we had 6 scores go up on the 29th. So it was a great day overall, and congrats to him for setting 4 scores.
Yeah, that's awesome. Congrats, Norbert. I heard him say that he probably wasn't going to be around as much.
Right, you said he was going
to
move.
Yeah, so that's
quite
a send-off.
Yeah.
So, very good. Congrats, Norbert. And we're looking forward to all the new scores that go up this week, and we'll see who puts up what in today's mystery.
Oh, you know what? I forgot to mention, there was a new house high also in Bagman.
Oh, yes.
James is over 90,000 now. Mossy's held it. He reclaimed James's score last Monday, but James beat it back during the week, and he's over 90,000 now.
Yeah.
Such a great game.
So we'll see if he can come back if Mossy's wants to give it another shot.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure most of the regulars will be here fairly soon.
Yep.
So I'm sure there'll be some new scores. I'm anxious to see if any of the shmup guys. I know Scott Lambert over at the Underground Retrocade, who also has Sky Cursor.
He has the same version as us now?
I believe they have the same version now.
And now we can get some back and forth going.
He said he put a bounty out on my score, so we'll see.
Oh.
They don't have your tech, though.
Ghost Lord tech,
it's quite a thing.
It's quite a thing. I just, I had on a actual game fixing level today, a repair level, I had Edge come over, and he was super impressed with some Ghost Lord tech.
Nice.
I was working on our War Gods monitor, and I've got an iPhone and an Apple Watch, so I'm able to actually set up my phone to look at a monitor while I'm working on
the
monitor,
front of it.
And watch what my camera sees on my watch.
Nice. So you can adjust it and everything.
I can safely adjust it without having to like angle a mirror or have somebody hold a mirror. And
it's a great use of technology.
That's Ghost Lord tech. That's
Ghost Lord technology.
Ghost Lord technology.
Two point oh.
Yep.
So it's all good stuff. All good stuff. What am I going to be putting on the floor? I'm very concerned about what game will be going on the floor.
How about another shmup? We'll upset James.
It won't be a shmup. I don't have a cabinet here.
Ah.
So I can guarantee it won't be a shmup.
Should be a beat-em-up then.
We'll see.
The same thing.
We'll
need a cabinet too, yeah.
Gonna be an interesting one. We've been getting so many boards in lately. And that's been what's been making it difficult lately for you. It's my wanted list is
it's all rare stuff, isn't it?
It's all super rare stuff and obscure stuff and highly collectible classic stuff and things that people don't want to part with. And
it's definitely stuff you just don't run into, that's for sure.
Now, does that mean you have to pay like collector prices and not like wholesale warehouse raid prices?
It depends on... We've been very fortunate lately with getting some great prices. The last warehouse... We did about 6 warehouse raids on the same place. And we had taken Carrie to our last one.
That's fun.
Yeah.
And I think we're almost... I think I'm done there.
Yeah. It's
been plundered.
There's still a lot of good... Maybe... There's some good stuff.
We've said that 10 times, so.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
There's a lot of shmups on this wanted list.
There's not that many.
There's a couple.
There's a few.
Yeah.
Currently, this last week, I pulled off 4 games. I tracked them down and ordered them. One is coming in from Australia. One is coming from Norway. And the other two are coming from Japan. So, the... last ones being so rare, it's just getting harder and harder to find the stuff that we really, really want.
We need the ghost hand to reach out internationally.
We're out there.
Yeah. It's gotta be.
Currently, I know I had just missed out on a cabinet that I just by literally an hour or so.
Yeah.
But it's a new challenge for you, Mr. Fox.
I'm trying to track it down. Trying to see where it went. I haven't got a lot of cooperation with it yet, but they'll come around.
What has been one of the hardest games that you found for us? That because the list I give you is it's always just been outrageously rare things. What was the one that you were like, man, I finally found this thing for him.
Was it Wacko?
Now he'll shut up about it.
You found Wacko for us, right?
No, I found Wacko.
I did not find.
Oh, okay.
I got a Wacko myself a few days ago, though.
Nice. That's awesome.
My first one.
Very cool.
I don't know. That's
F-Zero, maybe?
No, I found that one on Craig's.
Yeah.
You had happened to be out in the area and
yeah.
were like...
Oh, that worked out.
Yeah.
Because I remember him delivering
I did find
it.
A couple yeah. other F-Zeros for people, which
yeah.
was fun.
Mm-hmm.
those,
it has to be fun.
Those
like,
are great.
Like driving down the highway with one of those on the back.
Oh,
yeah.
People pointing and staring and
yep.
it's pretty neat. They are just giant. You know, I don't know.
Do you remember what the first game you sold us was?
Yeah. That first one I ever sold you guys was Return of the Jedi.
Was it Return of the Jedi?
Yeah. Yep.
It's awesome.
Cool.
And, yeah, that was definitely the first.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. You had only a couple hundred games then. Remember that?
Vaguely.
I know the number changes daily almost.
It almost does. Definitely weekly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not weekly for sure.
But the amount of games that we've got on backstock now, it's, again, it's been so much fun going to warehouse raids just together and like finding all these great rare games. And we've gone out to, we've definitely been all over Illinois.
Yeah.
Where else have we been?
Like, what is your radius? Like, if someone says that they have a game that you want, how far will you go?
Oh, I'll go as far as, you know, there's roads.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Cool.
If I have to put the van on a boat, I might do that, too, for the right price. I don't suppose there's any limit to where we'd go, as long as there were, you know, a good amount of stuff, you
okay.
know? Not opposed to flying somewhere and doing a rental truck back, either, because,
oh, yeah.
you know... Trailer only holds about 18 games or something, so know, rental trucks are $1 a mile, so that gets kind of crazy.
That can get expensive, yeah.
We had a few trips we spent $1,200-$1,300 just on the truck, you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
Adds up.
Absolutely.
But I guess we've done Mississippi. That was pretty far. Memphis, not so far, I guess. Iowa, Indiana, of course, all of Illinois.
Now, if someone says they want a cab that they just saw somewhere, do you do you like a brokerage service where you'll, like, handle the deal for them?
I would. I mean, depending on where it is, I don't know if I'd necessarily go get one and maybe just set something up shipping-wise or something.
Okay,
because,
cool.
I think people ask. Pay. It's just a lot of... U-Ship has been pretty decent lately, you know.
Where do you... and maybe you don't even want to divulge this. Where do you look for your games? And how often are you checking? Like,
you know, I hate to even say this, but I think in the last 6 or 7 months, I haven't really even looked as much as people just call me now.
Yeah.
Well, that's good, though.
It is good.
Yeah.
Every time I sit down in front of the computer and look, I find something that I need to go buy, though. I mean, that's for sure. Like, if I have nothing planned for the day, I'll just sit down, and 10 minutes later, I'll have a plan for the day.
Nice.
So it's... I used to talk to a lot of operators, but it seems like now operators are getting rid of, like, you know, Golden Tees and Buck Hunters and stuff, and that stuff's not really that hot for homeowners. I mean, it's okay, but...
It's super common if you just go to a bar, yeah, so you don't really need it at home.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's still out there, and it's not hard to find. It's all over the place. So, and then, like, the 90s shooters, you know.
Oh, the time crisis and...
Yeah, that kind of stuff. And that's what a lot of operators seem to be dumping now, and that's not really on my list of stuff to buy on a regular basis as much as 80s stuff is. Of course, I like the 80s stuff a lot more.
Yeah.
I guess one of the big questions that we get from people is that what is a cabinet worth, and what should they pay for a cabinet? And there's always so many questions about pricing. And I know it's always a difficult thing. Like, what can you tell people about pricing of arcade cabinets?
That's a seriously hard question to answer. Well, I mean, there is, like, the Exidy price guide that you can find online, which, in my opinion, is so completely inaccurate.
Is it inflated, or...?
No, it's way below.
Way below? Okay.
It's, I don't know when it was written, though. It could be quite old.
Oh, okay.
As far as I might know.
Some of it's got to have something to do with how much you put into a game, too, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, you could I could go buy a game for, you know, $200, $250, but, you know, as we know, some of the board guys that repair them, you know, you could get a $500 bill for a board or two that got fixed, and, you know, this is a time-consuming process. It takes a long time and patience to get the boards working right if it's something rare, and... like a repair guy hasn't had a lot of experience with it costs you even more.
Right.
Because they don't have a lot of experience with that particular board or whatever. And then, you know, painting, taking care of broken corners on cabinets or just, you know, redoing the whole bottom or artwork, you know. The rarer the game, the more expensive the stuff is for us to buy. And, of course, the less people available to fix that item would be. So... that's why the rare stuff is more than the common stuff. As far as pricing goes, though, man, there is no guide, you know? Like,
I suppose it's based on demand, too, right?
It is based on demand.
Yeah.
It's based on how hard something was to get. Based on if I had to go buy a load of 20 items just for this one particular item. You know, I've done that many times, you know, and then you just deal with the rest of it, and maybe it's all common stuff, and there's one cherry in there, you know.
Right.
And, you know, but there's a lot to it. It's kind of full time.
Yeah, like there's even when I've purchased stuff. Just recently, I bought a game that bought from a guy that I've bought quite a few things from, and there's some dealers that if you're buying 20 games, they'll cut you a break. One of the other warehouse raids we did recently, super good guy to work with, yeah. And give a fair price out of the box, and then, oh, you're buying 15 games, I'll take this much off. And
right.
That's cool. Like, but some people, one of the big things that some people don't realize is that when you get a game that's so rare, regardless of what you've paid for it, the demand, like when you put it out there, there might be five people that really, really want that game and are willing to throw down. They'll keep outbidding each other.
Like collectors.
Yeah.
That just wanted to complete their collection.
The collectors, yeah. Actually, the collectors' prices are... They're in that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the collectors aren't always the people that will pay the most for it.
Who is it then?
It's the people that... That's their game. It's
yeah.
Like it's not the people that have 30 games in their basement. They know what a game is worth. They know how rare it is. They know whether or not it's a good game. Like, you'll find somebody that just wants that game and is willing to pay more than anybody else because that's what he wants.
That's his holy grail.
That's his holy grail.
Yeah.
I myself, there's I just picked up a PCB that's board is incredibly rare. It's a good game. It's one that's been on my list for a long time. It's only the second time that I've seen the board for sale.
Is it on this paper?
It is. It is on my Games of the Vault.
The wanted list.
No, it's on ones we have on the way. So
yeah.
So
don't say it out loud though.
Yeah.
Oh, outstanding. Great.
Oh, we just got this one on the way, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll be a nice Monday release.
I'm looking forward to that one.
One of these Mondays, huh?
Everyone's wondering now.
The games in the vault, it's just so amazing to look at what's coming up and knowing as soon as the next part of the expansion, so much of this stuff will be out there. But for that board, I paid a little bit more than what I thought it was worth, just because I wanted it off the list.
Yeah.
And the chances of ever seeing it are so rare. It's like, I need to pull the trigger on this now while I can.
You asked me to look for it, and I went back, and I checked all my usual places. I hadn't seen a for sale auction since 2013 on it.
Yeah.
That's how rare it is. Yeah.
There's been a couple of games out there that...
I didn't check the Japanese sites, because I think that's where you got it from, right?
I did. I've
yeah.
been talking with the some pretty heavy collectors. One is actually two are out in Japan, one in Australia, one in Norway, and it's like there's some great rare games out there. And the cool thing with this is with the arcade is like you get to share games that people didn't even know were in the arcade.
Yeah.
And I would put money on the last batch of games that we have on the way right now. It's like nobody knows they're out there.
It is, you know, as opposed to having it in someone's basement. Not that there's anything wrong with collectors, because collectors are great. But, you know, you have it in an arcade and all the exposure to it, you know, and everybody gets to see it. And
they get to talk about it
people
together.
People have never heard of it, you know,
but
or thought maybe it wasn't real. Or
that's one of those things that once
sure.
it gets here... Then, like, I don't really think there was anybody, like, really into... People were into, like, I'm trying to... Like, Wacko, for example.
Right.
I think so many people have seen it here, and we've had... and Cosmic Cruiser as
yep.
well. Like, we've done all... We've had Brian Colon out to...
Yeah.
We've done a video on the cabinet, and we've talked about that game a lot. And now it's kind of like... You look through the forums and stuff, and there's more people asking for it. And I
so
think
we rejuvenated interest a little bit on it,
I'm,
is what you're saying?
For sure.
Yeah.
Like, look at Primal Rage 2.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that in itself is once we put it out there, we were getting outrageous offers for it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
people were just like, here's this briefcase of money. Would you like to sell me? And it's like,
let's meet behind the alley.
Right. Like, that board can just disappear and nobody, like, but it's like, it's got, for us, it's all about getting it in front of people and people enjoying it. And
yeah, you did the right thing.
For sure. For sure. But when it sparks an interest with people and the collectors start wanting it more, and I see it all the time. It's like there's games that sell now for more than what the game is technically worth.
Do you think it's because collectors are just hoarding them?
I think there's a few different type of collectors.
Yeah.
There are. True. There's a surprising amount of what me and Jeremy refer to as super collectors that have these massive collections, and nobody knows they're there because they don't tell anybody what they
very
have.
They don't put them on K-Love or anything?
They're very, very secretive. They don't like selling things. Several of them that I know, there's like people that want to have one of every game. It's just outrageous. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And these are people that'll keep them till they die, and then, you know, their wife will sell them for $25 a piece somewhere, you know. But they'll never sell them.
Yeah.
They'll never sell them.
It's a collectionist, completionist part. Yeah. Gotta catch them all.
For sure.
Yeah.
But like 2-3 people will ever get to play them, and they'll sit there and get dusted regularly, but that's never get seen by anyone. So it's, I don't know.
Yeah, it's like, to me, that's like someone buying a sports car and keeping it in a garage, not driving.
Exactly what it is.
That's what it feels like to me. No one gets to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Well, and the thing with that is there's two sides to that. Like, we have Primal Rage out on the floor, Primal Rage 2,
mm-hmm.
and we've taken that out of the garage and taken it out to some shows, and that's how things happen, though.
That's how it almost got destroyed.
Yeah. So it's like, as a preservationist, you have to kind of weigh that. It's like, there's so many rare games that we have, and our whole outlook is just like, if we've got it, it's got to be out there playing. But there are collectors out there that are shaking their heads at that, and it's like, I understand it.
Yeah.
And that's our business, is to get them out there, but it is. It's really to each their own.
It's a totally different way to look at it.
For sure.
Yeah.
But all of it, it does push interest onto other games, and once the interest is there and it becomes like a game that people haven't seen, it becomes a new generation of, it's somebody's new favorite game, and they're not looking to have 10 games, or they're just getting into the collecting scene and they don't know that cabinets, you can get them for sometimes $50, sometimes free, even, like somebody will just want something out of their house. And then somebody else will get it, and the value will go up, and it's just a interesting pyramid of how it all works. And I don't think people realize, like, we get people that ask, like, oh, why, like, something was on Craigslist or Facebook for a certain price, and then it changes hands a couple of times, and then the price is more.
I've had that particular scenario many times myself.
Yeah.
The last one I happened with was about a year ago, actually. I bought it locally. And took it home. Realized the monitor was completely colorless. You know, fried. Power supply was bad. Had no artwork on it. So I was able to have the monitor repaired, buy new artwork for it, repaint it, put locks and keys on it, put a new power supply in it, and then I listed it, and it wasn't even $200 more than I had paid for it.
So that seems like,
and
you probably
lost. Still got backlash on it.
Really?
Yeah, because people don't realize, you know, that I drove there, I picked it up, I stored it, I bought stuff for it, I waited for stuff to come in for it. I installed the stuff, I then listed it, and then had the burden of selling it.
And that's not even, your time is not including, like, to paint it and all that stuff.
No, yeah. No, and you know, it's, that's that happens over and over again. I kind of just brush off the comments now because it's just lack of understanding. It's not anything else. I mean, it's...
Right.
You know, I don't want to say ignorance as much as just not knowing.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, there's storage, there's vehicles, there's insurance, there's... I mean, I took my daughter around yesterday and we went to all five of our storage spots to take inventory, you know?
Yeah.
And that took us half a day. You know, just to see what we have right now. And it's just, it blows my mind every month I'll pay that check for the storage and stuff and I'm going, okay, when am I even going to get to these? They're sitting there backed up in these units and one or two or three more get dropped in the front of them again and then they get gotten to and some of the stuff in back hasn't even been touched in a year, you know? It's all fun, though, you know? It's
you also do construction, too, right? You do, like, new cabinet construction?
Yeah, we build the brand-new replica Bally cabinets, Mortal Kombat cabinets, that sort of thing. We've done a couple special orders for people, bar tops and such. I'd say our specialty is probably the 80s Bally cabinets.
I didn't know you did bar tops. I might be interested in talking to you about one of those.
We did a few. We're currently working on steps for Red Baron, Cosmic Cruiser.
I've seen your Wacko cabinet replica. That one looks pretty cool.
We made two Wacko cabinet replicas because an arcade owner out of state had ordered one. And I said, well, what the heck, these are... It was very complex to build. It was, like, ridiculous.
Yeah, with the angle and everything, yeah.
Oh, it's unbelievable. And so we made two of them just because it was, like, one of those things where while we're doing it, we might as well make two.
Yep.
And I've been sitting on that other one for quite a while.
Oh, no.
But I have a Wacko now, and I'm still trying to determine if it's a good idea to switch it over to that new cabinet or just fix the old one.
Right.
Don't want to take away from value by putting it in a new cabinet, which I can understand, you know? So, but yeah, we're working on the steps for the games right now. Just got the material in for the tread, so.
Cool.
Very nice. That should be done in the next day or two. Yeah, the cabinet stuff's great, though.
Yeah.
I mean, we love to make them.
Yeah, they come out looking really nice. I saw one you had for the holidays. It was an NES-themed one.
Yeah.
That one looked really cool.
Yeah. It was a Nintendo.
Yeah.
Painted black with
the red buttons.
Yeah, that was neat.
Yep.
Try to switch it up whenever it's possible. You know, custom orders are hard, though. Because, like, someone will call and be like, can you make me one of these?
Yeah.
And it's kind of like there's a momentum going where we can knock out, you know, 8 to 10 in a week's time because everything is all set up for the exact ones we're doing. It's hard to do one at the same prices.
That'll interrupt your process.
Yeah. It's a little difficult to switch everything around.
Got it. Makes sense.
Cool. It's, what, and I know when you got, like your Wacko, like, you can genuinely see and hear when you talk about you're so excited to get that particular game and get to work on it. And I think that's something that's really different than some of the other places that buy and sell games. Like, there's some that are really into it. There's some that are just kind of doing it for the cash. But, like, just from hearing you talk about things, it's like you understand, like, the history behind these cabinets, and it's just you like seeing them for what they are. It's like, I know you're not huge into playing them, and I know you do play pretty much every game you get, but you're not like in it to set world records or anything. It's
I
just kind of
if I tried.
That's my job.
That's your job.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, the Wacko, I have a Wacko and a Cosmic Cruiser at home right now, which I'm thrilled to have sitting next to each other, finally. You know, the thing with both of those is, as you know, when I was looking for you, for your arcade, for those two things, I'm not even sure I'm the one that ever found those, but like, that was a very long process to find those two games.
And yeah.
I have them both at the same time now sitting next to each other. And
what are the chances?
Yeah. They both need stuff done to them. And I've kind of put it off because I kind of don't mind walking by and seeing those two sitting next to each other. It's kind of like, not necessarily in a hurry to get rid of either one of them.
Yeah.
I just like to see them there. It's just...
It's cool.
They yeah. exist, you know? Yep. They're there.
Are you... I know you have had in the past... again, some of the people that you've met at the arcade have signed cabinets for you.
Brian... Brian has signed Cosmic Cruiser already. Oh, and, that's awesome. I did send him a message that I would like for him to sign the Wacko as well. And I'm just dying to see that picture with him standing next to the two of those together. That's that's pretty much...
That's cool.
Yeah. That'll be it for me, you know? Mm-hmm. Then I'll be happy. That's
Would you want to give the listeners a heads up? Is like, can you give them anything that you have coming up for sale that you haven't shown any pictures of yet, or
teasers?
Yeah, teaser.
Well,
or do they have to wait to see you at Midwest Gaming Classic?
I don't know if I'm going to go there. When is that, next month?
It's April this year, I think.
Oh,
it's usually March.
Everybody's talking about it already quite a bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm going to go or not. I haven't decided. You guys are going, of course.
Yes.
We'll be there.
Set up a whole room again.
Yeah, I was talking with Trickman, and they're pretty open with the amount of space that we're getting this time. They're just kind of like, whatever you want. So we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah, you had a pretty big... I don't know that I have any... I saw a couple things in storage yesterday that, to be honest with you, I completely forgot that I had. Because it's really been several months since I actually went to the back of the units to see... I really did forget about a few things, and I'm not going to mention those.
Not even one?
No, I can't. Because then, like, everybody's going to keep calling.
Just one.
Do you do boards, two, or just cabs?
We have boards.
Okay.
We have boards. I've been hoarding some boards. Waiting for the right cabinets to come in, maybe to restore or
Cool.
Whatever, you know. I like taking orders, too, if anybody has a particular thing in mind that they want. I mean, that's the good thing about networking. Chances are, you know, between all the people that we know collectively, we could pretty much find anything that exists, you know. I mean, that's what's...
That's cool, yeah.
And Facebook's been huge for that. It's ridiculous for that, you know.
For me, it's like about the boards. Like, 'cause I have a JAMA cabinet, I just put whatever board I feel like in there.
You know, a lot of people don't even know you can do that, which I wish everybody did know you could do that.
Right.
And it's just going to be a matter of maybe a couple different buttons, but you could put the extra buttons on. But
some games, it's a kick harness or whatever, and mm-hmm. you're good to go. You can put whatever board you want in your JAMA cabinet.
Yeah, that's outstanding. And, you know, a lot of people don't think about it like that because they're intimidated by the fact of anything electronic, you know. Like, maybe that's going to be difficult.
Maybe
they're not
going
to be able to do it, you know. Yeah. But it's not difficult, you know. You can just plug the other one in.
Yep.
But, yeah, I, you know, of course, and I'm sure you guys would, too, be more than happy to show anybody that asked.
Absolutely.
You know. That you could collect boards instead of collecting full cabinets if you wanted to do that, you know?
That's kind of what I started doing. Well, I got a small collection, mostly Konami stuff.
Yeah, you're a big Konami.
I am. Yeah. I got Russian Attack and Contra and one other one. I forget what I have. Oh, I have Primal Rage. How could I forget?
How could you forget?
Yeah.
That's a great game.
Yeah.
That's a great game.
One of the big things also... and I know you have to deal with it all the time. It is such a small community. How do you deal with the friend prices versus this is your business and you need to make money?
Well, I suppose I have probably been to quite a few people, more friend than business, which is my own doing. I know a lot of hardcore guys that just, here's the price, I don't care if I just ate dinner with your family, that's what you're paying type guys, you know. Sure. And a lot of guys are like that, which I can respect that too, because business is business. But I tend to give people a better deal if they're repeat customers. Not to say that I'm going to stick it to the one-time customer, because I don't. Everybody pays the same. However, just like you're saying about the warehouse things, you know, if you go in somewhere and you're like, I'll take 20 pieces, well, you know, you anybody would expect a little better of a deal, you know. But, you know, guys that have bought in 10, 20, 30, 50 games for me, of course they get a better deal than, because I know they're repeat guys, you know.
Sure. Especially with, there's so many arcades that are in the process of opening right now. And even locally, there's six or seven guys that are buying to build good traditional classic arcades.
And yeah.
It's everybody, so many of the classics, like, so many people want them. Like, what does that affect the value too? Like, it, and to what degree? Like, obviously, like the people that are just opening up, like when we were buying arcades for the first time, we managed to get a great deal.
Yeah.
And then, you bought so many though, right?
Our first batch that we bought 114 machines out in Denison, Iowa, and they're about $40 a cabinet. Wow. Which 6 years ago now was about the going rate. Like, you could go find deals like that. It's gotten progressively harder because, again, there's currently, we've helped 10 arcades open, and are currently helping 15 more right now.
Yeah,
and it's like,
and
the demand, it's like everybody's buying everything. And that's the people that we've talked to. Like,
yeah.
There's other places that are just popping up all over.
They're popping up all over the United States, even in places you just totally wouldn't suspect it. I'm even dealing with a guy right now that is opening a second location. His first location hasn't even been open a year, and he's just killing it.
Nice.
You know, and it's a barcade.
Where's he out of, or do you mind saying?
I'm not, I don't want to say it, because I don't want to ruin anybody's surprise on announcements and stuff. But yeah, and he's doing great. He's doing great, and ready for the second location within a few months.
Nice.
It's awesome.
Yeah, risky, but then again, that's half the fun of the business, you know?
But so, those prices, when you're buying in such a huge bulk deal, you can kind of expect them, but like, especially guys that are just getting into it. When we were opening, there were collectors that would sell us stuff, and it was like, oh, you gotta have, there were just machines that we absolutely wanted to have, and just like everybody in the scene who's trying to open, you want something very specific, and you pay a little bit more for it just to get it when you want it, on time and before your doors open, because it's going to give you an edge over somebody else. But and even, I can't even remember what we paid. I know you were, your prices have always been really good with us. I can't remember a time when I've walked away from a deal going like, wow, that
that's
that wasn't too good.
Well, even, you know, even the Discotron you bought off of me like years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I sold that to you really cheap.
You did?
And
you did.
You see, I had bought it really cheap, though. And it's one of those things, I didn't do anything to it. So I just kind of passed it on, you know? I mean, it's different if I buy something, put it in my truck, and drive it somewhere. I mean, I'm not going to kill on that deal. I know that. But, you know, that's totally different than buying something and, you know, spending 10 hours working on it or sanding it and painting it or, you know, anything else. It's you know.
But that's kind of been the evolution of your business model that that I can see. Like, it when you first started, from what I saw, there was some conversions that you do. It was dedicated cabinets getting converted into 60-in-1s and just quick flips. And now you focus so much on like traditional, true, full restorations. And like, I've seen you get two cabinets and they could just go out, but you'll put them back in the right cabinets. Like, they were converted, somebody else converted them.
Yes, and believe me, no one pays for that.
Yeah,
that is a complete loss of time and money, because you couldn't possibly break that down to hourly rate. I mean, it would be $2 an hour, you know, by the time we're done. And I'm not saying we wouldn't convert something that was maybe, you know, and this has always been a huge topic of discussion, the 60-in-1s, you know. I got a lot of flack for it early on because we were taking classics and doing that with them, and now we make our own, so I welcome comments on that. But I mean, it's rare that we use an original cabinet unless we received it completely gutted, you know.
Right
now I have a Burger Time in one of my storages that's painted black, and it has a control panel with 15 buttons on it. Someone had it as a MAME, you know.
Yeah.
So Will I take that cab? And I got Pac-Mans too. I got a couple of Pac-Mans that are painted black. Someone did, you know, whatever with them. And those will probably be multicades. I mean, because the price it costs you to gather up all the stuff you need for an original, it just doesn't, you can't sell it for that.
Doesn't add up.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
Cool. Like, it's, well, I don't think, I can't wait till you have the next thing that we need. So, I'm
make that list a little longer, because
our list is short now. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. I need to get on a boat to find that stuff.
There was talking with two of the games that I wanted. So rare, Japanese collector. Told me that
to give up, basically.
No. Well,
one did say that not too long ago.
I've had several people tell us that we'll never find stuff. One of the games that I just now have coming, the guy said, it's the equivalent of a prototype. Good luck finding that.
That makes it even funner to find it, though.
It really does.
For you, that's like challenge accepted, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Challenge is yeah, a huge thing. Man. Yeah, that's, you know.
I feel. If I can't find... it is about... I know it's all... literally after Primal Rage 2, my viewpoint changed to where anything is obtainable and you can find anybody that has it. So it comes down to how quick can I do that. Sometimes I'll find presumably one of the few that are in existence and the price will be so outrageous. There's two very, very rare games that I'm looking for that a guy from Japan told me, if you ever find one, and you won't, they'll be in the $25,000 per game range, which that's many, many more times than what I'm used to paying for even a super rare game.
It's crazy.
So it's, we'll see. Hopefully I don't have to pull those off the want list, but I've never seen them for sale, so.
Sooner or later.
But, well, I will definitely be giving you an updated list today.
Good.
Of things that we want.
Good.
More shmups.
Is there anything else you'd want to tell to the listeners? How they can get in touch with you? What?
I'm pretty easy to find on Facebook at Prince Arcades. And my phone number is 630-378-1517 if anyone needs to call.
Email address or anything? Or
do you not go through email normally? Mostly just Facebook?
Um, No, we have an email. It's arcadegamescell@yahoo.com, and that's everything spelled correctly. Everybody always asks about the double S. But, you know, you could always just call the phone number or message me on Facebook. It's probably easier than remembering that.
Cool.
Do you accept other want lists? Like, can they text you a list of games that they want?
Oh, please. Please do. You know, a lot of times we'll be at a warehouse or something and then we'll just totally pass on stuff that could be on someone's want list, but just of a lack of a communication, you know, we could totally pass it up and then, you know, maybe a week later someone else grabs it, so.
Sure.
It's, yeah, definitely send the wanted list if you have one.
Very cool.
Yeah. Does that about wrap us up?
I guess that just about wraps us up. We have to actually get going to make sure that there's a Monday mystery game, so.
It's still a mystery.
It's yes. still it's a mystery to me, and that's not good. But we will wrap this up. Thank you, Jeremy Fox, for
thank you.
Prince Arcades. Thank you for all you do with getting us rare games and helping us track stuff down and negotiating deals with us, and always an awesome time.
Yeah. Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you. And thank you to Pete Hahn.
Yep. That's me.
Gamer of the Year. Ugh. That is also you.
For are another... you a Gamer of the Year this year?
Yes.
Currently. Already? Current.
Wow. That was quick.
He just doesn't...
quick!
You just didn't lose your status.
Yeah.
When the new year.
Yeah.
That's good.
It goes until the anniversary.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Which, keep an eye out. We're still looking for what makes our Gamer of the Year. We're still watching. These Monday mystery games are really telling me something. So
yeah, I want to play the Peter Packrat because, you know, I've never played that game.
It's definitely
I've
a lot
looked
of fun.
For it for a couple years, but I've never...
It's tough.
Yeah.
I'll have to show you some things.
Very cool game. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. This is Doc Mac from the Galloping Ghost Arcade, and we hope to see you around the arcade soon. Thanks, everybody.